Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 541. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
April Fool! No, I'm not! Oh, yeah, I'm here.
You are here.
Damn it.
You're not canceled. Earl is here as well.
Everybody's favorite April's Fool. yes.
Because he just loves the Ninja Turtles.
He does, but also I am just under 2 hours away from turning 36, so that is my big thing for this month. I hate having it my birthday the day after. Nobody ever believes me when I tell them that, but it is true. So I am here too.
You're spending your birthday Eve with us?
I mean, it's either that or stay inside. Oh, wait, never mind.
Fair point. Not much going on. Jeff is here too.
Happy birthday, Earl.
Thank you.
Another light week, in terms of game news, game releases. But we do have some stuff. Jeff has been playing some Monster Hunter Rise. Tony's been playing some strategy games and sports games.
I exist.
Yeah.
Earl and I have been playing something. I don't know. And we got our final four of our video game tournament. We're going to wrap up, pick a winner tonight after the semifinals and finals. So one of those four games will be going into the Hall of Fame.
But before we get started on this week's podcast, I just want to take a moment of silence for the death of one Mario Mario, who was executed on March 31st, 2021. By the cowards of Nintendo of Japan.
That's a shame.
May you find solace in that the fact that you no longer did you buy Super Mario 3D All-Stars or pay Mario 5 or Game & Watch Mario Edition.
Do we all own physical copies of this, by the way?
The 3D yeah. All-Stars?
Yeah.
I
think all four of us do.
Can't take our copies away.
That's right, damn it. We got it. We got the physicals.
I got two.
Would you have two copies of it for?
He's going to be able to sell it for like $500 a year from now.
Fair enough.
One for my girlfriend, but I still count it as mine because she doesn't like it.
Oh, and then you can sell it for $500 in a year.
Yeah, exactly.
Buy yourself a Switch Pro.
See, I was thinking ahead.
Invest
profits.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sorry that Mario's dead.
Rest in peace.
But you can pick up Mario Golf next month on your Nintendo Switch.
Revive his
$59.99.
I guess that the big one out of that's Mario 35, right? Like gone.
Yeah.
Can't play it anymore.
Oh yeah, and I guess a minor death. Fire Emblem 35th anniversary thing, or whatever it was, 25th anniversary collection is gone too. The NES box, yeah. I mean, again, you can physical stores have these, you can buy them until stock runs out, but you can't buy them digitally anymore. So, which actually, I mean, I guess to throw in to the Sony news and kind of the big, I think the big story of the week as far as discussion goes is game preservation and legacy, because Sony also announced this week, I think it was rumored that they officially announced this week, that they'll be closing on the PlayStation 3 and PSP stores in July, and then a PlayStation 3 store in August. A digital store, so you'll still be able to re-download games you own, but you won't be able to purchase any new titles from those after that period of time.
So this basically makes the PSP go, like, once the stores go down, like, if you don't have stuff downloaded, it's a useless piece of tech.
Yeah.
Cool.
Which, there is a big, I mean, there's a debate around, like I said, but I just to kind of focus on the near immediate future, it's also really difficult, I think, to then turn around and sell people an all-digital system, like Sony's doing with the PlayStation 5, if the idea is, like, in 10 to 15 years, that will literally be a brick. Because you no longer have access to those games.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just don't get, like, what would it hurt them to keep the stores up? Like, it can't be, like, that much maintenance. Like, apparently, I don't get it.
Then, and that is a good question, because I mean it's not just Sony, because Nintendo's done it with the Wii.
Yeah, they did it with the Wii, yeah.
And at what point is it? Like, I can understand that we necessarily wanted to keep on having the stores interface with the new version, but there's no reason you can't keep a legacy version that people can access on the back end. I can't imagine you're these multi-billion-dollar companies that's worried about storage. So I don't really know. No reason for closing it down.
Yeah, and there's no reason they couldn't have kept it up on the website, right? Like, I mean, they stripped it out of the web version earlier last year, end of last year. And, you know, that was a big way for people to buy games on it. Like, they didn't necessarily browse the store on their PS3 or their Vita. They bought them on the web and then downloaded the games from there.
Easy to navigate then, right? Actual web their system store, I will be honest with you.
Yeah, their system store is atrocious. Like,
yeah.
But yeah, and it's a shame, because the PS3 had those PS1 classics, which you could also play on the Vita or the PSP, and basically all that's done now. Well, I guess not done yet, because you can do that until what? July or August. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, roll all that shit into PS5. Do it the Microsoft way.
Why haven't they rolled the PS1 Classic stuff at least into the PS5? But they didn't have it for the PS4 either. You couldn't play it there, so.
It makes no sense. Why do you hate your customers?
Also, back to Mario. Like, weren't we convinced that they were going to, like, break those games apart and just sell them separately and then add Galaxy 2? What happened to that dream?
Well, I mean, to be fair, that could still happen. It's literally been a day.
Right.
So it's hard. And again, nobody wants to announce anything today, because nobody's going to believe it. I don't know, but... Even if that's the case, like, it kind of goes to the legacy, because you can never buy this specific version of this game, this collection, as bare bones as it is. It's going to be a unique marker that's no longer accessible, and it goes to, again, the larger discussion about video game preservation. The one thing I will say is that as a, you know, avid movie watcher and movie collector, it's the things happen like that in movies. There's a lot of movies that aren't accessible on modern technology. There are some that aren't even available digitally, and that happens. Rights get screwed up. Some of the older movies, the originals were destroyed. Stuff like that happens. But there's a difference between, like, willfully neglecting your history and just kind of things falling through the crack, where it seems like. And there's nothing wrong with wanting to sell people your new toys and your new products. And part of me is, like, I understand why people are, like, off of video game preservation. But part of me is, I also kind of understand why companies don't make it a big fuss. Because as much as Microsoft makes it a big deal, it still isn't a big deal to the vast majority of people buying these systems.
Yep.
Because, yes.
They're playing new stuff. They don't care about these games.
Yeah. Like, it's we've had this discussion several times on the show. For historical purposes, it's awesome to want to play Super Mario Brothers. I would not recommend somebody in 2021 making that their first video game.
But it is a shame that, like, you know, if they get into, say, Odyssey, and they want to go back and experience the history of it. Like, well, Nintendo has it. Like, there's a way that you can go back and play Super Mario Brothers. But, like, let's say you start playing Resident Evil. Like, you play Village, you go back, you play Resident Evil 4, right, because it's available on everything. The remake, they're like, oh, I want to see what it originally was. Like, those versions, like, will be basically extinct from digital stores come July. Like, you won't be able to buy, like, the original Resident Evil 1, 2, or 3.
Yeah. And that's the thing, and that that's going to be the problem. And there's no right solution. Like, I mean, part of it, for instance, like with the Switch, because Nintendo was a decent with doing backwards compatibility with the previous generation. The Wii could play GameCube, the Wii U could play Wii. And then this stops, and the Switch is cold turkey. You can't play 3DS, you can't play Wii U. Part of that is the format. Like, the discs are not the CDs or the DVDs that you have with the previous system. So physically, yeah, even if you had an entire collection, you couldn't do anything with it. But yeah, I think, you know, one of the things that, especially, because, you know, Nintendo started this virtual console, and people thought that was a great way, because these games were inaccessible, they were doing a service, and then it's like, oh, yes, and then it doesn't carry forward. So you bought these games on the Wii, you got to buy them again on the Wii, you got to buy them again on the 3DS, and you got the weird system on the Switch, where you get some games, and it's like, if that's what they're going to do going forward, that's what they do going forward, but they have to, like, that would have to be how they do it going forward. It's like, okay, you can get Nintendo Switch online, you have access to these games on every system. None of this, like, time, we're going to start with the same handful of games going out to you. And I think the other thing that will always be an issue with video game history and why I think people prefer Microsoft's method is that licensed games just expire. We've seen that happen time and time again, where they had to be pulled because Konami or Activision or EA or Capcom don't have the license anymore. That's just the nature of the beast with licensing. Whereas with physical copy, you can always keep that, but there's no way around it. Like GoldenEye, people have asked for a remake or a release of that game several times, and that has what, Nintendo, Microsoft, EON, Rare, all kind of jumbled up into that mess. And it's just one of those things where it's impossible to get right. Example I tend to use is the Batman 66 show. Warner Brothers owns DC, but that show was produced by Fox, who's now owned by Disney. So I don't even know who owns the right to that show, which is why it's not on any streaming service.
That's a shame.
It is a shame.
That Batman show is ridiculous. Yeah. I guess sticking with the game preservation, just real quick, I guess something came up with the Ninja Gaiden trilogy that's being released this month or next month. I guess it was discovered that the Ninja Gaiden and Ninja Gaiden 2 versions are the Sigma versions, which were the PS3 releases. And the reason that is because Tecmo or whoever Team Ninja, I guess, they did not preserve the original source material for Ninja Gaiden Black and Ninja Gaiden 2.
Oops.
So, but what's the original? Was it
Xbox? So they forgot. They closed without saving.
Basically. Yeah. Like they... And it's not that... They golded Ninja Gaiden Black on Xbox and Ninja Gaiden 2 on 360, but didn't, like, they just kind of, I guess, overwrit those when they did the Sigma versions.
And it's not the first time that happened, because I was reading up on it, because I have friends. The same thing happened with Silent Hill Collection, where they didn't have original versions of, I think, Silent Hill 2 and 3, which is why they had to, like, re-record stuff and change music, and the game, like, the base game is kind of broken in that regard. And again, I think it's one of those things, kind of going back to, like, there are TV shows and movies that are lost to history because people at the time didn't try to store them. You probably made one or two master copies because you don't want to keep bunching them around. I mean, we've all changed hard drives. It might have been like somebody just like, even work, taking this hard drive, see you later. It was on one of the documentaries.
You've got games. Some asshole who has the original copy and won't show it to anybody. That kind of thing.
What?
Yeah, there was a documentary about one of the, I think it was one of the id games, where like somebody, like they basically went on the internet and a bunch of people came together to find somebody who had like an original copy of the game that they re-released.
Jeff, we just ran into this with recurring nightmares with Dog Soldiers.
I was just going to mention that. So the movie Dog Soldiers, which was like a werewolf movie from the early 2000s, it took almost 20 years to get the proper version of it released. It just they couldn't find the original negative anywhere. And then I guess they finally, what was it? It's like 2019. They found some guy that had it.
Crazy.
So like, I didn't even, like the version I own, I actually own... a Scream Factory release of it, and it's still not the proper version. I don't know. I think that, like, at least with film and stuff, they are getting better with just being conscious of this stuff, but it feels like we're still figuring out more with video games.
Well, and even with film, there's...
Well, that's a perfect example. That's a recent, like, that's a, you know, that's a, not that's a recent movie. You know?
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's probably with more studios and stuff that goes up, you know, assets and stuff gets off on the move and this, that, and the third. But I was going to say, even with films, like, really think about it as the end product. There are a lot of props and, I mean, sets are destroyed after because a lot of those sound stages are just rolled over to another film or something like that. But there are stuff like that that are just lost to history. And I do think it's going to be fascinating. And I think it's going to be a bigger hurdle, especially at with the Switch 2. Because there are more games released digitally than there are physically these days. So that's going to be a thing once this generation and even the previous generation are disconnected from the internet.
Yeah, think of like the hundreds of like games that get released on like the eShops and stuff that like they're garbage, but like they're going to be lost to time. They get like there's just so many out there that nobody even cares about. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. What about a like the Vita made like it sustained itself on all those indie kind of like indie digital releases. That's going to be crazy. Like that stuff's just going to be lost completely.
Yeah. You're going to lose good stuff too in there too. Yeah. But I was just thinking like, think of like, you know, if you've gone like the Switch's eShop, you see a lot of just like junk.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, if you care about preservation, you kind of, you don't want to lose even that stuff. But I guarantee a lot of that stuff's just going to get lost to time. Like, I don't know. We could at least preserve, like, the stuff that... Try to preserve the stuff, like...
Preserve the things Jeff cares about. Like,
no, just, you know, I don't care about Ninja Gaiden, but it's like, it just seems nuts that, like, the original code for that is gone. Like, what the hell?
I guess the flip side to that, again, is like with game preservation, like Chris mentioned Resident Evil. Like, yes, you want to preserve your, you know, but you also kind of want to preserve the remake. But that's an example. Like Ninja Gaiden, I think, is a good example where there are changes, but it's not like a massive difference. Like, it's a balance, I think, for a lot of things. It's just enemies, it's easier and stuff like that. But like, then do you just preserve the core version? Do you preserve the remake, you preserve all versions? When does it become redundant? Well, you have like five versions of Super Mario Brothers.
It's true. Like, I don't know the answer, but it's a shame that somebody is not thinking about this on the corporate side of it. Or if they are, they're just throwing it away. All right. Well, I don't think there's much other news.
There's like a couple things that all kind of fit together a little bit.
Yeah. In terms of other news, I don't think a whole lot's going on. Jeff, you've been playing the big release.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe of the year so far.
Yeah. Yeah.
You've been playing Monster Hunter Rise. Kick us off with that.
It is the new Monster Hunter that is, I think, timed exclusive to the Switch.
Seems that way. It's coming to PC at the very least at some point next year.
So it's basically the Switch getting its own proper Monster Hunter and if you are a fan of the series, I think you're going to be very pleased. It's more Monster Hunter. It does feel as, you know, like a significant real release as like Monster Hunter World did. You know, like this is as good, I'd say. Like it doesn't look as good quite, but it does look pretty good for the Switch. And then, you know, it's like the classic Monster Hunter gameplay with, like, you know, a couple new things layered on top. I'd say probably, like, the most notable thing is this wire bug dealie, which is basically just a grappling hook. It takes a little getting used to the way it's mapped to the controller and how it's used and stuff. But once you do get used to it, I think it's a cool addition. Anytime there's like some sort of grappling hook mechanic, I love. It just feels good here. Like you're running around a map, you're trying to chase a monster around, you run into like the side of a cliff, and you're like, ah, wait, I don't have to walk around this. I can just grapple hook up the side of it and keep going straight. And you can use it in battle too, although I'm still not super great at that, like remembering to do it. Like if you get knocked back in battle, you could, you know, kind of tap the grappling hooks so that you don't get, you know, like laid out for a second and have to like pick yourself up. You're like, you'll just kind of flip and land on your feet using it. I'd say that that's like the biggest addition. There's other things, like there's like bugs and shit floating around the maps now that, like, you know, say you go out on a hunt, as you're running around, you're picking up these bugs and stuff that will like give you stat boosts to help you get through the mission. But generally, I don't know, it's a new monster hunter. Some new monsters, there's a few that I've fought that I like don't recognize. Of course, a bunch of returning ones.
Right. I mean, they always add some new ones in.
Yeah, yeah. I fought one earlier called like a Vividon or something, like this fucking roly poly motherfucker. Just like, dude was constantly moving and then farting clouds of poison at me. I don't know. It's really good. Like, you know, and there's, I forgot how it was like the progression was broken down on world, but here, you know, you have like a hub village, and one side of the village is where you pick up your solo quests, and then you go to the other side of the village into like this little hut, and that's where you could do your online quests. It, you know, there's still a little bit of like confusing bullshit with all that, but it is pretty easy to, like, you know, if you go into the online side, it's pretty easy. Like, you could go to there's like a board, and you could just kind of go, I want to hunt whatever. Pick your monster. You just pick which monster you want, and you'll find other people that are doing a mission hunting that monster. That's kind of the only way I've played multiplayer so far. You can like hook up with friends and stuff like that. It's a little
more, oh yeah, you can. Oh yeah.
You gotta like, if there's like a cat you have to go talk to do that or something. You know, it's like the kind of the confusing. And of course, there's a bunch of systems in the game that you have to learn. Relearn again. Like, there's still things, like I was asking Sean earlier tonight about certain things. So, apparently you hit the end credits pretty quick. I haven't, but Sean did in a couple days.
It does not take very long.
Yeah. But it's he was saying it's kind of sounding to me like it's one of those, like, Animal Crossing things.
Yeah, where you hit the credits, but you just have to put it somewhere. Yeah.
Yeah, it's the end of the beginning. It's like, now you've warmed up, and now you, because, like, I think I'm on like level 4 quests now, but it's like I definitely feel like I have to go back and do other stuff more, just because I want to get more parts off the monsters to, you know, build armor and weapons and shit. So,
sure, I mean, that's the main game, right? Like, nobody really necessarily plays Monster Hunter for its story, so.
Oh, yeah. I mean, yeah, I don't, if there's a story, I don't know what it is.
I mean, that.
There's typically something.
It's just, yeah, there's typically like a giant monster attacking a village trying to destroy the monster. But yeah, it's nothing too deep.
Yeah.
Just, you know, at the end of the day, the core of that series is like, awesome. Like, I don't know, it's just, the combat feels cool. Like, just the satisfaction of slowly chipping away at this monster that could very easily kill you, but when you get him, like tonight I was fighting what the hell was I fighting? A Ratha something?
Raytheon?
Rathalos?
Raytheon.
Yeah.
There's two. One's, yeah, the male version, one's the female.
Whichever the one the female one was, and
Raytheon.
And you know, I'm deep into the fight. This thing has already fainted me twice, and so like if he knocks me down one more time, I'm dead. And I finally like chopped his tail off, and it's just, that's such a satisfying feeling when you just see fucking part of this thing fall off after you've been fighting it for 15 minutes, and then he starts like limping away and drooling and shit. Like, that's just a very satisfying gameplay loop. And of course, when you finally do, when you're finally victorious, it's awesome. Get a little victory music, carve them up, make some shit out of them. I don't know. It's a very simple formula. Like, yeah, there's a lot of systems and there's, you know, there's a learning curve to these games, but like, I think if that sounds fun to you, it's worth going through that learning curve, because once you know what you're doing, that's what the game is. Go kill a monster, or go kill a monster with your friends. Like,
have you teamed up with anybody, played any with anybody else?
Just randoms. Yeah. Like, you know, I'd be like, oh, I need more parts off this monster, and I'm like, well, instead of doing it solo again, I'll go do it with a group, just, you know, for variety. And that, you know, that always feels fun too. Although it's a little chaotic now, because it's just like, you got these two pets that are coming along with you to help. And I think like they let you bring them with you when you go online. So it's just like, it just seems like a billion things.
If you don't, I think if you have, Justin, if you have two people, if you have three, you can't bring your pets with you.
Oh, really? I don't know. I remember doing one. Maybe it was just the two of us, and it felt chaotic then, because it's just, like, me and this other guy and our pets, like, just, like, shit going down all over the place. But it's cool. Like, I do feel like I have to focus on my pets a little more, like, figure out, like, make some weapons for them and stuff like that. But anyways, dude, it's Monster Hunter. Like, you can't go wrong. It's cool to have, like, a proper, like, new, like, important one on the Switch instead of, like, you know, I think all we had before was, like, kind of, like, a handheld port or whatever.
Yes. But, I mean, for a franchise that is Capcom, it gets milked to death. There's also OUBit. Like, technically speaking, this is OUD6 game in the franchise.
Mm-hmm.
In theory.
Yeah, yeah. It released a lot. I think, like, the Wii one got released twice, didn't it? Like, Monster Hunter Tri or whatever.
Yeah,
like,
and then it got released on the Wii. I think it got released on the 3DS, and then it got released on the Wii U.
That one was good, too, but I really think, like, World kind of set the new standard for the series, and I think that, like, this lives up to that. Like, again, you can't do the visuals as well as the other consoles, but it looks very good for the Switch, and it runs great. Like,
load times are short.
Yeah, that the load times are shorter than the last one. The world is like doesn't have load times once you're in it. Like, there's, you can kind of tell when you're tunneling towards like another area of the map. There's no transition. The screen doesn't go black or anything like that. Like, it's just like all one map.
It's similar to World in that manner, where it's like, you know, you travel to the different biomes, but once you get there, it's just like that big open space.
Yeah.
Neat.
It's fun to be back hunting monsters. I was hesitant. Remember, like, I was thinking about not getting it. It didn't take long for me to totally, like,
to change your mind.
Yeah,
because there's nothing else to get spend your gaming money on.
There's that too. But, like, you know, Outriders is out now, and I'm like, I was interested in trying that out. But I'm like, I don't know. I'm pretty satisfied with Monster Hunter. I get off work, kill a couple monsters, eat dinner, watch a movie. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm good.
Which is probably fine.
Yeah, and it's a good loop. You kill monsters, you get better gear. You go back to kill stronger monsters. It's a very addictive loop.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of armor, and there's a lot of different weapon classes and stuff like that. And in the past, Capcom has always been really good with supporting it. If I'm not mistaken, it sounds like that, because Sean mentioned he saw the credit. But if I'm not mistaken, I think the game actually doesn't have an end game yet.
It's just like, you're like, all right, I've beat the last, like, according to, like, reviews, it's like you beat the last big monster and nothing happens after that. Like, it's like, okay.
There'll kinda probably weird. Be more monsters. I imagine they're going to add more.
Yeah. I think they already announced one or two so far.
When do I log this as a game I beat? When I get the credits?
Yeah, I mean, that's
cruel, right?
Yeah. I mean, there's certain games you never technically, like, I my addiction to Fortnite, I never beat that, but I've beaten enough of the game to know where it goes. I mean, I guess there's a single player component, whatever.
I mean, depending upon where you're playing, no, there's not.
That is fair.
Also, that single player component, not great.
Not great, no. It's also weird because you always think with these games that the single-player component should feed into the multiplayer component. But from what I've gathered, it's very different. Like, it's similar mechanics, but it's also very different in, like, how you get certain stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there's
like
still
a horde mode with bases in Fortnite.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like sometimes like NPCs to save. It's weird. And the achievements for it are terrible.
I mean, I guess in a bit of Fortnite news, for the April Fool's gag, which I guess wasn't technically a gag, they added this stonk guy. So I don't know if you've ever seen this stock meme where it's like to the moon. It's like that dude, like the fat face. And it's the arrow. It's just like the arrow pointed up, and they added that character as a skin today.
Nice.
And bigger news, they also added dinosaurs you can tame. So you can get your Jurassic World.
That's kind of cool.
Yes, I tamed my first wild boar today. I'm super stoked by that. And I'm sad to admit, 2 weeks into the season, I'm already level 50. So,
it's a lot of Fortnite.
You're going to have that chicken suit guy in no time.
Yeah, waiting to get my Raven. I have several versions of our craft already, so there's that. Oh, and I don't think I mentioned it last week, or they had the Croft Manor addition to it. And that's actually, it was a fun little mode. It's basically... Like the one thing I do like about Fortnite is a lot of people kind of go in and they can mix around and make their own things, and Fortnite is pretty good at promoting that. So I mean, I don't think it's fan created, but like using the different tools, it essentially became like a mini puzzle game. There was shooting involved at the end, but a lot of it is just using different attributes to do stuff you would do in like classic Tomb Raider. So there's like a segment where you use like the grapple hook to get across platforms. There's parts where you figure out a puzzle because Fuhrer is falling as you walk, so you have to figure out which styles are safe to walk on. One part I did not care for at all. You had to use the gravity, the impulse grenades to kind of jet set your, basically to do platforming, and that's not really, I'm not great at that. So basically you would throw it to the ground and you jump over it and then like hop from platform to platform while losing that. And then at the end, you got an artifact and you're attacked by a bunch of like zombie-esque creatures. You kill a bunch of them, and then a giant one comes, and you kill that, and that's how you compete it. But it was a really fun, like, 15, 20-minute thing that, you know, again, it's just another way to spice up the gameplay and make something different and exciting.
Neat. You play anything else this week?
I did more of the Outriders demo. I've not played the full game. And again, it remains a ton of fun. More Torchlight 3, because I don't know if I mentioned this before, Torchlight 3 had an update a few weeks ago that kind of broke the game in weird ways. It was a loot shooter where like you could not actually pick up the loot too much, and that just became super frustrating. Yeah, like you would kill bosses and like you'd open the boss chest and then the items would just fall back into the chest and you can't actually like kick on anything.
It's an amazing bug.
It was super bad. My friends were just like, if this is not fixed this week. I mean, basically, my friends just want to ditch the game because they much prefer Outriders, and they're trying to speed through it, and I think they were just finding a reason to ditch, but it was super frustrating. You'd walk over, like, gold and stuff, and like, your character wouldn't pick it up, so you're really just running back and forth to just make sure you pick up all the loot. And I'm like, this is just not fun, because it's just adding it's a few seconds, but it's adding time to a loot shooter to stuff that should be automatic. Yeah. And then they still have this really dumb bug. It's not a bug, it's a design choice. I don't know why. Sometimes you open a this happened to us yesterday, you open a boss chest and like there's a portal to take you back to the world. And the portal will open right next to it. And it's the same button to enter the portal as it is to pick up the items. So like you have to carefully go over each item to make sure that you're aimed at the item and not the actual portal. So yes. I feel like this is buggier and not as exciting as Torchlight 2 was. But I am curious to see how it plays out. And I bested Minecraft Dungeons again. And some of the daily challenges are really kicking our asses. Because they basically, that's your oldest challenges is like the hardcore mode and stuff like that and getting that gear. But it remains a pretty cute and simple dungeon crawler, and I mean it's a Game Pass game, so I'd always recommend it.
Have you played any of the expansions for that?
No, because I'm not paying for it.
Fair enough. You spoke about Outriders there. That is now out fully. I have gone back in and evidently from that game, from the demo, you can just pick up where you left off. And it popped an achievement for me, like, immediately. I just picked my character. They imported it from the demo, and...
Oh, that's awesome. I uninstalled the demo. I hope it still is on my profile.
Yep, I uninstalled the demo, too. I think it's just saved on their servers, so...
okay, that's good.
Yeah. And it just pushed me right in. I picked up where I had left off in the demo, which was great, so I didn't have to redo that kind of dull... Not necessarily dull, but it's like the tutorial area where there's a lot of talking before you get to like what the game actually is. The dialogue in the game is bad, but I'm kind of finding it enjoyable. Like it's not well written, but it's just like really funny how they deliver the lines. Sometimes there's just emphasis on certain things that just like, I don't know why you did that, but it made it very funny to listen to. But yeah, the shooting's fun. The powers are fun. I'm playing as a pyromancer, so just like lighting everybody on fire.
Burn, baby, burn. Yes, yeah. The pyromancer is so great. Especially once you get like, one of the early powers is you can ignite somebody, but part of why they're ignited, they then explode and do damage to anybody around them.
Yep. Yeah. The bomb, like the remote bomb thing where you light them.
Yeah.
Bomb. Then they just like, they go up into this like T-pose type thing and they keep lighting up like the human torch, and then eventually they just explode and cause like a giant burst around them. It's really cool.
And the best part about that, because of how the game, it's one of those games where it's just all the systems work together in such great concert. Because like there's not actually like health packs and stuff. So like when you do that, that's how you regain health. So you're watching this guy explode, and it's like, oh, it's giving me this beautiful, beautiful health back as well. It's just a really fun loop and some really nifty powers. I'm happy that somebody was able to craft a game with this mechanics that actually work and is fun without trying to be something it isn't. After we had stuff like Anthem and Marvel's Avengers, and yes, this is my wiki beating up on Anthem and Avengers segment.
Especially Avengers.
Especially Avengers.
The game does it does push you to keep like going up in difficulty. Like if it feels that you are doing good in one difficulty level, it will boost you, but you can go back down. So you can go reset your world tier if you just want to play. Like if you're playing on medium and boost you to hard or whatever the next level is, you can just, you know, drop it back down to normal. But it will push you. Like, it'll be like, hey, you have now advanced. You have unlocked, like, tier level 5 or whatever. And so I think that's neat that it's like, you're playing good enough. Why don't you try this one now? I'd rather not, but thank you. It's fun. I'm interested, though, to play some more. I was kind of, like, looking to see if there was incentive to go back and play as the other classes, and it does, sure. There does not seem to be achievements tied to
I was classes. About to say, I was like, you mean this by incentive, you mean are there different class-based achievements?
Yeah, there aren't, so like, no need to like, I mean, I do kind of want to see what the Technomancer does, but there's no need to like create like 5 different characters to go through, so I'll probably just stick with my Pyromancer. It's fun. So give it a try. It's on Game Pass. I don't know if it's on Game Pass PC. I think
it is not yet,
but it will be.
Will be. Okay.
Eventually.
So I've been told.
And it has crossplay, so it works across systems.
Nice.
It sounds like cross progression isn't.
So I can't play it on PS5 and get my Xbox guy, but I can play with somebody on PS5.
Yes.
Cool. All right. Well, I'll have to. I have a couple of people that I know that don't have Xboxes, and they're playing it on PS5. So maybe I'll.
That was the one thing, and I know people are probably accustomed to it by Destiny. I really just like these games that'll just like, oh, we're gonna cap it at 3 players instead of 4.
Yep.
it's a minor thing, but I feel like sometimes it makes a world of difference because I feel like you either have like one other friend you play with, or you have 3 other friends. Like I always feel like I don't have 2 other people I just play with.
That is a weird number.
Yeah.
It's like the Apex Legends number. It makes no sense.
Yeah. No. I wish that... Like, it's just one of those things where it's like, I can't recommend this to my friends that I play with on Friday night because there's a fourth that joins us every once in a while. So it's like he joins us. We've been playing Ghost Recon Breakpoint. And four of us can play that, but it can't be like, hey, let's play Outriders. We all have access to it.
But we don't all camp in at the same time.
Right, because
And it's not a Destiny where it's like you can group up. I mean, you may be able to group up for raids or something like that, but it's not really that game. It is story-driven.
Right.
And yes, I know Destiny has a story, but let's not kid ourselves.
Yeah. What I will say is this is like, I got some like strong Anthem vibes out of Outriders early on.
Oh, no.
Except it's like way better. it's competent. Yeah, it's fun to play. The shooting is good. The powers are fun. But like there is that like, hey, you're going out into the world and fighting off enemies, doing side quests, doing regular missions. You're collecting stuff out there to bring back and craft. But it all seems to work better than Anthem did. So,
because I had this discussion because I'm trying to talk to some friends too. Can we also talk about how weird you divorce the prologue is from the rest of the game? Because like the prologue makes you think like you're doing like this exploration game where you're like setting up pylons to kind of research the environment, and none of that's actually in the game once you get into it.
Like once you're through, like oh, you set up the pylons, and then like there's a twist that happens in the prologue, and everything goes south. it's a gun game. Like it's a shooter.
Yeah, but it makes it seem so much different. It's like you're hunting animals, you're getting resources, you're trying to create, study the environment. It's like, nope, you're just going to go kill a bunch of stuff for us.
And
I'm all for that. I'm just thinking it's so funny.
There's also a time jump that happens. it is funny because when it happens, like things are, you know, it's that idyllic, like you're settling this place. When you wake up, shit has gone south. there's wars going on. There's factions. Like it's crazy, but enjoyable. The shooting and you know, movement, gunplay, and powers are all fun. They all work together, like Earl said. So, it's the only other thing. I finished Final Fantasy II, the original on Super Nintendo. That was fun. That's all I have to say about that. Tony?
Yes?
What have you been playing?
Oh, I've been playing lots of stuff. But I guess the two big things. So NBA 2K21, I bought in the fall on release day because I'm an idiot. And I didn't start playing it till it came out on Game Pass a couple weeks ago.
Wait, so you own the game, but you Game Pass it?
Yes. Because I don't know, a lot happened in the fall. I never got around to it. It just didn't happen.
It happens, yeah.
Which tells me that from now on, this is my lesson.
Game Pass it?
I am not going to buy games that I don't intend to play immediately.
That's a good
That sounds like a good idea.
On paper.
There's no reason to do that anymore. Because
I don't
everything
think
comes
I do that. I'm trying to think. So, I guess sometimes, like, Black Friday sales, I'll get, like, a bunch of games, and then, like, yeah. Okay, I do that. I'll shut up.
Right. I mean, it happens.
We all do that. All four of us do that.
That's about it, though. And I'm still sitting on my Black Friday games from last year. I'm like,
But it's like, I fully intended to play this game when it came out, but I just didn't. But I'm playing it now.
Yeah.
And...
Yeah.
I don't like it as much as I like the other NBA 2K games. I cannot shoot in this game. I've been playing the My Career mode. By the way, the My Career mode has been pared down year over year. Like, there used to be this awesome story that would continue throughout your first season and stuff would keep happening. Now it's kind of front-loaded, so you get a full a few hours of story at the beginning, and then it's gone forever. So, like, the game opens up, you are in high school, you just joined the basketball team your senior year, and you're just, you know, you're learning the ropes, but you're awesome because your player is super athletic, and you play through high school, you get recruited by college, you go to college, you meet some girl who leaves you, and you're very sad, and all this stuff happens. Like, and once that story is over, once you get drafted by the NBA team, the story ends. Like, literally, like, that's the end. Which is annoying because of how fleshed out these things used to be. Like, it used to be about becoming an NBA player and what that meant, and, you know, the things that happened to you when you were in the league, and now all that stuff is gone.
Didn't they have Spike Lee direct one, like, a few years
ago?
Yeah!
Yeah, they had some really, really good ones. Like, the stories were actually interesting and worth seeing, and there'd be these cutscenes that were all awesome, and they'd have, like, real actors, you know, like Michael B. Jordan, and, like, guys, you're like, oh, that guy's in here, and you're, that's awesome. But they don't do that anymore. So there's like, a cameo by, like, one NBA player during, like, when you're, like, training for, like, the NBA draft, and that's it. There's nothing else. Yeah, I don't like the gameplay as much as I used to. Like, I'm playing as a point guard. I know how to run the pick and roll. I know how to pass. I cannot shoot. I've played a lot of this game now, and I still, like, 15 hours in, can't shoot. I can't make anything. I've been boosting up my players, you know, shooting stats as much as I can, and he still won't make anything.
That's disheartening, because, like, that's one of the reasons that people play these, is because you want to feel like this, the NBA superstar, or the you know, the professional athlete that you aren't. You want it, and it's not like, oh, I just want to be the guy that, like, just, you know, he makes 7 points a game, comes off the bench. Right. You want to be the best in the league. And if it's making it so that it's like you can't score, that's terrible.
It's like now I know enough about playing NBA 2 game to, like, I can manipulate my defenders. Like, I can get layups. Like, any idiot can make a layup in this game. It basically makes it for you. So my player gets, like, a decent shooting percentage. It's like, but if you look, like, at, like, the, you know, you see the shooting charts you get when you watch an NBA game, where it's like, all right, red is a make, or green is a make and red is a miss. And you see a bunch, mine would be all these greens right around the basket and red everywhere else. I don't know why they made the shooting so hard, but it is really, really unforgiving. And it's one of those things, like, you don't do it a lot, especially when you're, like, one player out of five. So it's like, how often do you shoot a jump shot? Well, I might shoot a jump shot once every 10 possessions, if I'm lucky. So you don't get a lot of practice. And it's like, it's just that one moment. And it's super hard to do. And I have yet to figure it out. Oh. But my player's stats are great. He gets lots of assists. He gets a few rebounds. He gets some steals. Lots of layups. It's really good layups. It's stellar.
That is not a stat you often hear about in the NBA. The people who are great at AM. You got the shooters, you got the dunkers, you know, you got. But yeah, you don't. You know, there is an art to AM that we just don't talk about.
Now, I hate to say this, but this may be the pay for play aspect of the game. Like, I could right now go and buy a bunch of the upgrade currencies VC. I could buy a bunch, and I could max out his shooting stat right now. I'm not going to do that. Yeah. Also, my player's stat isn't that bad, so he should be able to make a few of these, but he can't. And maybe I would say maybe I just suck, but I have played, like, you know, I played this series for years. I feel like after more than a decade of experience with NBA 2K, I'd be okay at shooting in the game. Like, I would know how that mechanic worked, and
yeah,
I can't do it.
You've been playing these every year for as long as we've been playing this show. It'd be like if I jumped into an NBA game and couldn't make a basket, that would make sense. Like, right. I'd have to put some time into it. But you've been playing it. You know how to play these games.
Right.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be downloading this.
Yeah, and that's just it. Like, I couldn't recommend it to somebody who's never played one of these. Or maybe you'd be better at me than me. Maybe you'd be like, oh, the shooting makes sense, just do this. And me with, you know, 10 years of muscle memory is like, I can't do, my thumb won't do that. But but
I'll stick to NBA Jam.
I would stick to NBA Jam. I'm still playing it. I'm gonna boost my stat. I'm gonna figure this out. I'm gonna climb this mountain. It's gonna happen.
Can we get a remaster of NBA Street?
Wait, what?
Like a remaster of NBA Street.
Oh, I thought you said that we're getting a...
No, I would like one.
I would say you can't get a remaster. You have to get a sequel.
Okay, because I'll take one of them too.
Yeah, because I don't necessarily know if it's true, but I do know it's one of the issues with, like, everybody's always asked like No Mercy remasters, and it's always like they have to get the rights to license all of these wrestlers again and their likenesses because those contracts are only for X number.
Yeah,
that's I don't get how Arcade 1UP did the NBA Jam cabinet. I'm like, they got like most, not everybody, not everybody that was in the original game is in it, but like most. It's like,
oh, there you go.
How on earth?
Like, there's probably people who were like, yeah, I'll do it, whatever, it's not a big deal. Because, like, I mean, there are people who penny pinch, but, like, yeah, it's not, like, it's not going to break the bank or anything. You're not going to make millions off of it. You can't do anything else with it. And you still probably get a percentage.
Yeah. But I would like another NBA Street game.
With Mario.
You play anything else, Tony?
So the other game I've been putting a lot of time into, I'm back on my Crusader Kings 3.
Oh, are people breaking up? Tony's still there? No. Is Tony? No? No? Okay, let's move on.
You don't want to talk about human sacrifice, Earl?
No.
I do. So they had an expansion come out this past week, Northern Lights. It's Viking-themed. So it adds a bunch of like Viking flavor to playing as a Viking lord. You can do a few things in the game that's pretty cool. You can resettle your tribes. So Vikings, you know, warring tribes, settle lots of places. Settled Normandy, settled England, settled Wales, got like all over the place, like all over Europe. They just went. So you could do that. You could literally pick up your tribe and like settle it in a new place, which is pretty cool.
That's neat.
But it adds a bunch of other like Viking stuff in there, like the raising of stones to commemorate cool events. So you conquer this, you won this war, you can raise a stone and everybody gets excited. Somebody dies, like your father dies, raise a stone in his honor and everybody loves it. But the coolest thing is this thing called the Grand Blot, which is a religious ceremony. And in this ceremony, you can sacrifice your enemies that you've captured in battle. I don't know if you eat them. That's not clear to me. But you could literally be like, this guy was annoying me. I beat him in war. He's not my prisoner. We're going to kill this motherfucker in ceremony, and everybody's going to love it. And if you do this, like, everybody in your realm who's in favor of human sacrifice, which is a surprisingly large number of people, is like, yeah! Good job, and they all love you, and like your stats with them all go up, and everybody else is like, "Oh my god, you monsters!" I don't know. There's a lot of cool Viking stuff in there. It's kind of cool to be a landless dude and go and found your own civilization in this game. That's not that type of game. Like it's more like managing maps and looking at spreadsheets and that kind of thing. So it's kind of cool to have that aspect in there. There's also like other Viking flavor, like you can make, if you have a daughter, you can make her into a shield maiden and send her into battle, which is cool. But lots of Viking-ish stuff. These games are all about like the color and the chrome, and this adds a lot of that to being a Viking lord. So good reason to go back to the game and, you know, sacrifice a few more people to the Viking gods. It's for you, Odin. It's for you.
Jeff is definitely getting ready to
dance. Jeff's all over that one. It's on Game Pass. Not Game Pass.
I totally spaced out there. I don't know what we're talking about.
Vikings, Jeff.
Oh,
Vikings.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed?
Just like Assassin's Creed, yes. anybody else play anything? That you want to talk about?
No.
All right. that brings us to the video game tournament.
Yeah.
Here's the finals. Everybody can kind of, you know, debate here how we're going to pick these out, because otherwise there would only be two votes per round that could just end in a tie. So round four, semifinals. My final four pick, Resident Evil, versus Earl's final four pick from his bracket, Angry Birds.
Oh, this is going to be a tough one, isn't it? I mean,
I don't know what to do here, guys. This makes no sense to me.
Oh, man, it's going to come down to the wire. It'll be a coin toss with this one.
So God, this is like the only way you could ever get me to vote for Resident Evil, by the way.
I was going to say, so Tony's going for Angry Birds.
Like, I like Angry Birds. I probably like it more than Resident Evil, but if I'm putting a game in the Hall of Fame, it's going to be Resident Evil before Angry Birds. That's not a question.
I mean, this is only to the finals, so...
Yeah, but either way, you should do the right thing.
And pick Angry Birds.
Oh.
I do like Angry Birds. I'm voting for Angry Birds now. You convinced me, Jeff.
Jeff, you're going Resident Evil here.
Oh, yeah. I'm not even going to get into it. I'll just let
this
one
go. Evil. I don't know if there's a debate here. I mean,
Earl's even abandoning his own.
His own pick. He's like, no, never mind.
I mean, I said
it's too far.
Earl with this fucking mobile bracket idea. I mean,
it's good.
I thought it was a good idea to kind of mix it up, because I figured everybody's going to have mobile games represented. I didn't have no ambitions that they would win. I honestly believe if we had mixed it up and we just took everybody's 32, that none of these mobile games would have made it past the first round.
I think you know, it's good. It's something we don't normally talk about either, like mobile games at all. And Angry Birds coming out of that strong game. So
yeah, I mean, it means that it's top four. Maybe we'll do a losers bracket.
Sure.
Are you going Resident Evil here, Earl?
Yes.
All right.
I just made a layup, guys, by the way. Made a layup.
Good job.
Resident Evil.
To make this easy,
Resident Evil.
I will also go Resident Evil. I would have heard arguments for Angry Birds, though.
I think there are games that Angry Birds could have been above, but I don't. I think Resident Evil, I mean... I guess Angry Birds, Resident Evil created a whole subgenre that's still very persistent and is still very popular in gaming. Angry Birds is up there, but I don't necessarily know if there's like an Angry Birds genre of games, and it's not necessarily the first mobile game that grew up either.
And if we look outside of video games, Resident Evil has what, 7 films, and Angry Birds has 2, so.
I think the
Angry Birds films have reviewed better, so
I heard they were good. I have not seen them, but I have heard good things about both of those movies. The Resident Evil movies, they are something.
Yeah.
They exist.
I have watched them all, so.
I still need to watch the Monster Hunter movie, speaking of Mila Jovovich.
No, you don't.
Really? I thought it was fun. Did you watch it, Tony?
No.
It is fun, though. But I wouldn't say good.
Yeah.
All right. Monster Hunter World, speaking of Monster Hunter, versus Mass Effect 2.
Good segue.
Mass Effect 2.
Also, I forgot that anything I cared about was already eliminated. You know what? I'll throw it out here first. I know Mass Effect 2, blah, blah, greatest game of all time, all this shit. Greatest game of the decade. I would rather play Monster Hunter World than it.
Really?
Yeah.
No.
I mean, I liked Monster Hunter World. It was the first Monster Hunter game that got me to, like, invest in Monster Hunter.
Yeah.
But like, I am like legit excited for that Mass Effect trilogy re-release.
I have it ordered already. In violation of my "I'm going to play it immediately" rule.
But I mean, maybe you will play it immediately.
Like, yeah, probably sure. will.
I mean, maybe not all three games. But you may start in on them. I have to go Mass Effect 2 here.
So is that everybody for Mass Effect 2?
Oh, well, everybody but Jeff.
Okay.
Unless you want to go Monster Hunter World.
No, I've shared my beef with Monster Hunter World before. Because, again, I mostly bought it as a multiplayer game, and it's a frustrated multiplayer experience when I tried it.
And Mass Effect 2 has both a great single player and at the time had a great multiplayer.
Great. It had a multiplayer. Let's go with that.
That's good multiplayer.
I thought that. I guess my memory of it's weird because I thought like multiplayer was added in the third one, and that was what people liked about the third one. But I guess.
Oh, it is. That is what people liked about the third one. But there was multiplayer in two, I believe.
Interesting.
I thought that was where it started.
I don't know. I didn't play multiplayer in 3, so I could clearly be wrong on this, but I just remember like when 3 came out, people talking about the multiplayer. Like I remember Fozzie being super into it.
No, you might be right. I might be mixing it up.
Ooh. Yeah, I think it was 3.
I think I try to attribute everything good to I try to attribute everything good to 2. but evidently, yeah, 3 had the multiplayer that people liked. Andromeda had pretty good multiplayer as well. But I still like Mass Effect 2. All right, that brings us to Resident Evil versus Mass Effect 2.
I'm sorry, once again, Resident Evil. I love Mass Effect, but come on. This is like,
I know
for me, a contest.
I know we've had this discussion before, but when we say Resident Evil, we do mean remake, right?
No.
Chris means the original. I am in my
brain. Oh, God. The one that plays like ass. Yeah. Oh, no.
Don't I am in my brain disregarding what Chris's pick is and just...
You're just like, it's Resident Evil in general.
Well, I mean, it's like... Whatever. I mean, there's no remake without Resident Evil, and remake is Resident Evil, but better, and, you know, some changes, but...
Sure. Interpret it how you will.
And regardless, like, the original Resident Evil was amazing at the time, and it's still a cool game. Like, that whole run there on the original PlayStation, like, of Resident Evil was awesome, so...
I mean, if Resident Evil,
I don't have to play the bad ones, just play the remake.
If Resident Evil Director's Cut doesn't like, and the original Resident Evil don't hit it big, like we don't get 2 decades of zombie games. You know, Tony's probably like, yes, that would have been better.
Right. Exactly. I'm waiting for the downside. Please explain.
I mean, I like them both. But like I said, for me, it's just like a no contest. Like, Resident Evil, like, that series is just, like, it's up there.
But it's not, this is not a series award. This is an award to this particular game.
That's fine. That's still.
I look at, like, the influence that it had for me.
Dude, plus that original version had like the corny ass bullshit, so.
God, so good.
Yeah.
Not good. It's bad.
It's
memorable.
Though. Well, it's memorable, but also like I just played through a game called Cold Fear a couple weeks ago that is very reminiscent of Resident Evil 4. Except like it is trying to do like the cheesy Resident Evil vibe, and it just fails at every turn. Whereas like there was a charm to like the ridiculous B movie nonsense that Resident Evil had with its live action, you know, live action cutscenes that they had.
And I think as fans of horror, we can all agree that that is an easy thing to actually get right, because like it's such a thin line. Like you can go too far and it just kind of becomes dumb. Or it could be like, okay, these characters are idiots because like, oh, this is obvious. And I think Resident Evil walked that line. It did job of mimicking Earth movies and tropes they were trying to go after. And I think that works. And it was in that regard. I think Remake is just a better video game.
Sure. But is it better than Mass Effect 2?
Yes. See, this is why I asked, because I think if it was Remake, I would go Resident Evil. Now that it's the original, it's a bit of a toss-up. Because, again, to kind of use the example that I use constantly, it's very much like Super Mario Brothers, is that I don't necessarily know if I would tell people to go back and play the original Resident Evil. Hey, maybe check out a playthrough on YouTube or something, but if I'm telling you to play Resident Evil, I'm going to tell you to play Remake. But Remake does use part of the charm and again making it a better experience because it doesn't have that hokiness as much. So I will see how this breaks out and hopefully I don't have to break a tie. So who's got what?
Jeff voted Resident Evil. Tony is voting Mass Effect 2. I have not picked. I was hoping you would pick, and then I would just side with you.
Damn it!
Make a choice, fuckers!
We'll be here all night.
Make a stand.
I am in favor of Resident Evil here.
Can I make an argument, though?
Sure.
Isn't Resident Evil eligible for a Hall of Fame under other circumstances, whereas Mass Effect 2 would not be?
This is true. Mass Effect
that
2
is, but would... I'm not going to use that as a criteria.
I'm just saying that you guys could have added this game at any time, and if it is the best horror game of all time or whatever you guys are arguing here, it should already be on the list.
That's not true.
We've done what, 4 rounds of Hall of Fame so far?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. Like this isn't even the first Hall of Fame or horror game that was nominated.
Here's my counter argument to that. If we get it in now, I don't have to waste a choice later.
Well, okay, that's
like this would have been my
me.
First Mass Effect 2 would have been my first choice.
How come you haven't put... Oh, yeah, you
can. He can't.
He's not nominated. It's not eligible.
Jeff is not listening to your argument.
I also think, you know, at some point we have to roll in that the... Actually, we're up to the PS2 era we could include, right?
We were through 2005. We will roll in 2006 this year.
Oh, you're doing it like that. You gotta be like that. I see.
It's hard to do it. Like I'm keeping it like 15 years, basically.
Okay. Yeah, Mass Effect will have
so Mass Effect 2 will be eligible in 5 years.
In 2026.
You can nominate it then.
Uh-huh.
I think Earl's going to have to come down somewhere here.
It is, and it's... But see, the problem is I can't, because if I pick Mass Effect, it just ties it up.
Yeah, but then we could hash it out from there.
Or could change his mind. I'm just saying, based upon my brilliant argument.
Okay, so
I think we need to hear Earl first before we can try to change his mind.
Like I said, if this was Remake, much easier choice. I think Resident Evil created a genre. It has a charm. Even Capcom themselves has shown that that gameplay style was dated because they went away from it.
Crystal plays.
I do. I mean, I've played that. I've played both Dino Crisis recently.
Chris is totally fine with that ultra pixelated tank control nonsense.
It's terrible. It's a bad game.
it's a fine game for what it's trying to be, and I think again,
I still remember seeing it. It was Resident Evil 2, but like going to a friend's house, he's like, "I have this game. I think you'd like it." Like he wasn't like a huge gamer or anything, and he like showed me he was playing Resident Evil 2, and like I was like,
that's not the game we're talking about, damn it.
It's
a different video game.
But just being like amazed by how it looked back then. Just like, it was like, this is like a movie. Like, this is crazy. Like,
which is batshit to think that in, you know, when that game came out, what, 95, 96?
Like, the pre-rendered backgrounds and shit, it was just like, you weren't used to seeing something like that in a video game. Like, you know, like...
The backgrounds did look amazing at the time, and I think that's what we remember about it. We don't remember, like, the pixelated dude. Like, yeah.
Earl, you betray us.
I haven't voted for anything.
Yeah, Earl hasn't made a choice here.
I was going, because you focused on the tangent, I was going to then make the case for Mass Effect 2. You see, Mass Effect 2, one of his issues being a sequel, so it's not like, I mean, one, it's not original because it's the formula that the company BioWare used for the Knights of the Old Republic and even Mass Effect 1, but it does have some of the, I think, best and most fleshed out supporting characters in video games. You know, I don't necessarily care for the overall narrative of the game just because it's so disjointed, because it is essentially just a squad game where you're putting together you're the team. And the teams have great individual stories, but the overall plot of the second game is just whatever.
I do hate the ending to Mass Effect 2 where you fight the giant Terminator guy.
Oh, I was thinking, because I thought I was thinking the ending of being the suicide mission again, which I think is such a novel idea. I don't know if I've complained about it.
No, I like that idea. I just don't like the actual final boss.
That is, a lot of shooters don't really do. And that's the other thing, is that Mass Effect 2, to a certain degree, walked that weird line between like being more of a shooter but having really terrible shooting controls, which is why a lot of people were out on the powers. But the overall solid, and I'm gonna have to.
Oh no! Did Earl just disconnect? And he's just like, I've got to go. I'm out.
I'm done.
Bye, guys.
That was not my intention. I don't know if I cut off when I said it.
You did. Though. It was great.
That was not my intention. I was saying that I have to go Resident Evil.
Oh no!
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Tony. We'll get Mass Effect 2 in at some point.
2026, you wait.
Or you know, like, because technically speaking, Resident Evil will be in the Hall of Fame. If we do this again next year, you put Mass Effect 2 on your tournament bracket, it can go all the way.
Sure.
I mean, Mass Effect 2 would consistently be like a first tier game, I think. So
it's like the Duke. It gets there right. Every time, but never wins. Man.
I was gonna say it's like when Jimmy Kimmel.
Why did it lose to Silent Hill? God damn it! What happened?
It would be awesome if every year also a different horror franchise.
Just like, I'm not doing this.
Who even remembered Dino Crisis? Damn it!
I do.
Like, where's the NIT? The NIT version of this. Where
did
is
you
it?
Know they made 3 Dino Crises?
Yeah. God damn it! The Condemned isn't even that Condemned isn't even that great. So,
oh, that would be funny. All right. Well, that was interesting for first go. We'll maybe bring it back next March. Congratulations to Resident Evil.
Fuck you, Resident Evil.
Wow.
Slipping in as Tony's nemesis. But now you so don't
I'm
have
now
to...
going to make fun of it at every opportunity. It's going to happen.
that game that got in.
Like... Not that I didn't before.
This is true. You
pretend like it's a difference.
And we'll be inducting some more games into the Hall of Fame probably in the next couple months, so...
Sitting in the Hall of Fame. Yeah, yeah.
We'll have to plan that out at some point because E3 is coming up, but I'm not sure what E3
is. Oh, that was the other thing I meant to talk about is that E3, like, there was the thing where it's like it might be partly, it's going to be digital. And then it was like part of it might be through a paid, but I think they came out.
Oh, did they come out and say, no, we're not actually going to do that?
We're not actually going to charge people because that would just really speed up the process of killing E3, which I said is pretty much dead.
Well, because is it Keeley? Is he the guy who's running the Summer Games?
Yeah.
He came out immediately and was like, we're free. So, like, if he's going to have this competing thing and it's free, like, E3 cannot.
And what would you pay for? Nobody wants to pay to watch press conferences.
No. Especially when, okay, like, in an hour, everything's going to be out there anyway. So. All right. Well, we'll have some Outriders next week. Jeff will continue hunting monsters.
Yeah, I think that's about it.
Tony will continue to sacrifice his enemies.
I do that in real life too, by the way.
I might get into Outriders.
Give it a shot.
Yeah, but I'm just pretty satisfied with Monster Hunter right now. Try not to rush through.
And just as a quick aside, because I was like, oh, let's see what's coming out next week. There's really not anything in April until the very end of April. I guess show comes out on the 20th, and then it's new Pokemon.
Outriders is April, right?
No, it's today.
Go ahead, sorry.
But I meant even then, because it's April 1st, so it's like the first and the very end of the month. The rest of the month just kind of exists, and then it's like new Pokemon Snap and Returnal at the end of the month, and that's pretty much.
And Total War War Remastered, obviously, you were gonna say.
So yeah, like I said, it's not much out this month.
Pokemon Snap and what?
And Returnal. That's the third person shooter from Sony.
Oh,
and there's a new Europa Universalis 4 expansion this month too.
The Total War Rome Remastered is out on April 29th, which still feeds into the larger point.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. You just didn't have it on your list of games where you're aiming for the end of the month. I just wanted to make sure it was there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so we said it. Are you happy?
Thank you, Earl. Thank you. You're the best.
And I will also have some of Fantasian, which is the, I don't know if you guys have seen it going around. It's the new Mistwalker game by Sakaguchi, who's the Final Fantasy guy. It's on Apple Arcade, which I have a membership to. And it's that one where they built all the levels as dioramas, like actually hand built them and then did stop motion, I guess, or they filmed it to get the backgrounds for everything. So a really cool look to it. But that just released. I just got a notification on my phone that it is available. So I'll be plugging that into my fancy little controller I have. And playing it in small chunks because my phone will overheat. You know, when you play anything on an iPhone for a long period of time. But we'll have that next week too. So,
did you guys see... Just one more thing. Did you guys see like the massive spring sale on Xbox right now?
Yes.
Saw it just started today. Live, yeah. Anything on there you're looking at?
I was just looking through it earlier. And I don't know if everything was up on there yet because it's like 700 titles or something. I saw Wario tweeting.
Oh wow, that's a lot.
But when I was looking through on sale earlier, there's a lot of like very deep discounts and just obviously tons of shit. The one thing that stood out to me is something I already own, but like, which I don't think any of you own, but you can get like all of Mortal Kombat 11 for like $50, like everything that they've released for it. Like, you can say get
50 or 15.
50.
I think the base game is like 15.
You're talking a game that I spent like $150 on. You could get what I got for $50, basically.
And you can
get but I don't want that. I want to spend $50 on it. But 15, I'm all in.
But if you just want the base game, Tony, that's $15, bucks, which
that might be worth it.
You just want the story, right? Like,
yeah, I don't care about all the extra characters.
I'm saying like the story, a second story, all the fucking awesome like pop culture fighters that they added.
They did add that second campaign, didn't they?
Yeah, there's a second campaign. It's like a couple hours long. I don't know. I just think that's a good, like, I'm just like looking at it like, man, I fucking spent so much money on this game. And like, if I didn't own it, I could get it all right now for that price. But you could get, even if you don't want to get like the second story and some of the other shit, you could still get like the game plus two of the fighter packs for 30, which is like, I would at least do that. I don't know. Just throwing it out there. That game is pretty cool.
So
that stood out to me just looking through what I saw.
Yes, yeah, so
but I own it.
Mortal Kombat 11 by itself is $15.
There you go.
And then the Aftermath expansion, which you'd have to buy separately, is 16. So $30, you get basically both campaigns.
But then you miss like RoboCop and Rambo and stuff,
right?
Which I don't know how. Those are like the coolest ones to me, like RoboCop, Rambo, Terminator. Hell yeah, dude!
I don't play any of the like. I don't go back in and play just fighting. So I just played Injustice and then deleted everything.
just do the story. Like, yeah, I mean, I do the story just because that's like the main thing or whatever. But like, I definitely, when I get a new fighter, I'll at least play like fight through a tower as them. You know.
I just don't like fighting games enough, but
That did remind me of one minor thing, which is that the Mortal Kombat movie was actually pushed back a week this week. So now it's coming out April 23rd instead of, I think, April 18th.
Bogus. Or something like that.
It's terrible. And I feel bad for you.
The cynic in me is just like HBO Max know what they were doing, because if you subscribe for the Snyder Cut, for the month, you would have gotten Godzilla vs. Kong and you would have gotten Mortal Kombat. But now this is just outside of that month window. So you'd have to renew for a second month to get Mortal Kombat. And that's the cynical reason I'm thinking they did that.
Yeah, I could see that. They're going to get that the extra sub.
Yeah. Why not?
Following back up on Jeff, I'm just like playing with math here. You can get the Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate Add-on Bundle, which is $25. And that is the Combat Pack 1, Combat Pack 2, and the Aftermath expansion. But then you need to pay $15 and get Mortal Kombat 11 on its own. So $40 would also get you everything, I think, Jeff.
Okay, but I don't know. I thought I saw
there might be like an ultimate break version.
It down all sorts of fucking stupid ways, but yeah, if you could do that, I don't know. I want to like kill somebody with a Terminator here. Someone get it.
Jeff just wants to fight us.
Yeah, I'm not a fighting game person. I'm terrible, but like it's fun to play. Like, you know, like I have a friend who comes over sometimes and like we'll sometimes play games. Like neither of us are good at fighting games, but that's like a fun, I don't know, it's something besides fucking Mario Kart, which is, you know, pretty much
I will say that, you know, playing through Injustice, that the game, and I don't know how they work the fatalities in this, but in Injustice, like, it's easy enough that you can like smash some buttons and do like the super move and get like the cool animation and stuff.
Yeah, and like the fatalities are way easier than they used to be, like on Super Nintendo and shit. Like way easier.
You had to like memorize a 15 button combo that you had to put.
You had to find somewhere because it wasn't like
immediately
accessible.
But like here, it just feels like it registers what you're doing better. Like, I don't know. Like I don't have a ton of problem doing any of these like fatalities. But then also on top of it, in Mortal Kombat, there's like tokens you could get that like will let you just do a fatality by pressing like right trigger plus A, and that like it's like easy fatality, you know?
Right.
You don't have like unlimited of those, but if you are having trouble seeing one happen, just fucking do that. I don't know. That's fun stuff.
There's like way too many games to keep track of here. Like in terms of what they're doing, it's kind of nuts.
Yeah, pretty deep discounts though on stuff. If you have, my problem is like everything I see that I would be interested in, I'm like, yeah, I bought that.
Or you want to be like Tony and actually only buy the games you're going to play, not just because they're cheap.
Right.
Yeah, for the most part, I tried to do that.
Sure, do that.
There's evidently also a giant sale on PlayStation. They have a spring sale going on, and I think Nintendo does as well.
Nintendo has weekly sales. I don't know if they have a spring sale in particular.
But, yep. So, stuff is on sale. If you're not going to play it, don't buy it.
That's right.
Follow Tony's advice.
Or buy it because it's cheap. Wink.
Sure. And then never play it. So it just sits there in your library like most of my Steam games. Which also there will probably be a Steam sale as well.
So. Steam does not count.
No, we don't count Steam. So that's just a digital collection service. You just buy stuff and never actually use it.
Yeah. Steam is like, you know, like when you put stuff in your garage, it's like you'll get to it someday.
Yep.
You have no intention of getting to it, and then you're just keying up your wrist one day and just like, I'll get some other stuff to fill the gap. Steam is just like that thing you don't see. It's to the side.
Is anybody going to try and play It Takes Two?
Yes. I am hopefully, because I wanted to buy it last week, but the friend I want to play it with, our schedules are odd, so he has a few days coming up for the Easter break, and so we're going to try to play some this weekend, which is complicated by the fact that I am busy this weekend with birthday festivities. So,
well, I am interested to hear how that goes for you. Because, unfortunately, my wife is not good enough at games that we can play that together.
I was going to say the thing I really appreciate, and I think A Way Out does this as well. Is that only one person has to buy the game? You don't need two copies for you to pay online, which is great.
Yeah, that's nice. That like you can kind of share your friend pass, I think is what they called it. So, all right. Well, we'll be back next week with all that fun stuff, and maybe one of us will have bought Mortal Kombat 11 to
or not,
but maybe.
Just gonna wait for it to come to Game Pass. It's not gonna happen. This is your chance.
I don't know. I would buy it because the actual story modes are fun in those games.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't know, but like, wasn't Mortal Kombat 10 on Game Pass and now Injustice 2's on Game Pass? Like, there's a chance.
Has it not been a game older? Is the game what 3 years old? 2 years old?
It's at least two and. Yeah, even if it comes to Game Pass, it's not going to have all that awesome shit.
Yeah, it won't. But, I mean, to Chris's point, like, Injustice 2 is on Game Pass right now, so...
Also, on the sale, I noticed Mortal Kombat X is $5, so if anyone wants that one.
That's certainly worth it. Like, it's a fun game, too.
Yeah, hell yeah. Anyways.
Yep.
Good night.
Have a good night. Jeff, say good night.
Good night.
Fuck you, Resident Evil.